Hi, it's Chris and Rob, Late Night Talk Show, WAIF, Cincinnati. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
That's us. Hey, is this loud enough? Is that better?
Yeah, sure. Sounds great to me.
Should I turn it up way up there? Is that better?
Crank it all the way up, baby.
Hey, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, as I just said. 749-1444 is the phone number. Tonight we're going to be talking to songwriter extraordinaire and recipient of recent BMI Awards and composer of television theme songs. And we're not talking about Mike Post. We're talking about Ben Bohn.
Just can't seem to believe it's not just some bad dream. You just wanna stay in bed now that Rocky is dead. The local mall's got no record stores, and you can't buy a Rolling Stone no more. Even Tokyo's running out of bread. Rock is dead. It's just a blank space on your TV where the music channel used to be. The writers and critics all agree we'll never make it to the 21st century. There's abandoned tour buses scattered across the hills and laminated asses clogging up landfills and a whole lot of nothing up ahead. That rock is dead. Rock is dead. You better get it through your head. Rock is dead. You might as well forget what Danny and his junior said. TV where the music channel used to be. The writers and critics all agree we'll never make it to the 21st century. Well, the radio's got nothing but sports and news. No more Jim Dandy coming to the rescue. You gotta fend for yourself instead. Now that rock is dead. Yeah, rock is dead.
Rock and roll really dead? Are we really the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show? I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob, and we'll answer these questions and many more.
Tonight we are joined by the irrefutable Ben Bohn, formerly of the Ben Bohn Combo and personally known as Ben Bohn. Not only is Ben Bohn a singer and a songwriter, but he's also the recent recipient, I think it was last Wednesday night, of the BMI Best TV Music Theme Song Award. Is that not correct there, Ben?
That is correct.
What was it like to go to this big old snooty kind of Hollywood black tie gala? Did you get to sit next to Courtney Love or Sharon Stone or anybody?
I did meet Mike Post, though.
What's he really like?
Well, I didn't get a chance. All I said to him was, you know, The Rocker Files is my favorite TV show of all time.
I like the A-Team myself.
Well, that's close.
Da-da-da-da.
But what Mike Post said was, you know, I've done music for a few other shows since. And I said, yeah, sure, but The Rockford Files.
Who did Barney Miller? Did he do Barney Miller, too?
No, he didn't do Barney Miller. I don't know who. It wasn't him. I can't remember who did that one.
That's pretty hot with the bass solo.
Well, Ben Bohn, besides being famous for the TV theme song Third Rock from the Sun, you also did Men Behaving Badly, which you stole under the nose of Marshall Crenshaw. How'd you get that gig?
Well, actually, he is doing the theme.
I thought you did the theme.
That is Marshall doing a theme. He's doing a Larry Williams song that the Beatles covered way back, and I do all the incidental music on the show.
Okay, so you're sharing the bill with Marshall.
Marshall's a friend of mine. I wouldn't take work away from him.
Right on.
We're all in this together, you know.
Okay, and last but not least, you recorded your new album in the backseat of your car.
Yes, that's true.
What was that like? Isn't it a little cramped back there?
Well, you know, I didn't realize I was claustrophobic until I did it, and now I appreciate legroom more than any man alive.
The new CD is called Rambler 65 on the Rhino Music record label by Ben Vaughn.
So how did you actually record in a 65 Rambler?
Well, I had a home studio, a small 8-track home studio, and I moved everything out, and my car was parked in the driveway in New Jersey. And I brought everything out there and plugged it in, and I would record one instrument at a time. I would get up in the morning about, you know, 9 or 10 and have a cup of coffee, read the paper.
You rock and roll guys don't get up at 6 or 7, do you?
Heck no. Those are farmer's hours. I usually get to bed around 4 a.m., actually. And I would throw this extension cord out the window of the kitchen and plug in and start cutting. And I would usually stop around 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Because and so what did the neighbors have to say about all this? You got neighbors?
Yeah, well, I moved. I had to move when it was done.
What, did it really anger your neighbors?
Well, they knew I was weird already, you know, and then they started realizing, hold on, now they knew something was going on in my house, and then when it started happening in the driveway, they started thinking it might start happening on their lawn and maybe on their porch and in their house eventually. So.
Maybe they thought you were weird, but do your neighbors know that you are Ben Vaughn, world-class singer-songwriter who wrote that song, I'm Sorry, But So Is Brenda Lee?
They weren't really completely aware. I wasn't able to throw that status around much in my neighborhood. They didn't really seem to care.
Well, maybe you should have coached Little League or something.
Yeah, I should have been more active in the community, as they say.
Well, did you have a big problem with kids throwing rocks at the car and dogs barking and making all kinds of noise and trucks going down the street?
I had dogs barking and planes going overhead, and every day around 3, the neighborhood kids would be coming home from school and they'd start bothering me, asking me questions like, hey, what are you making, an MTV video or something, you know? So I would quit around 3 before that would happen.
Did anybody try to break into the car?
No.
Your stuff out, or did you have to carry everything out in and out every day?
I took about half of it inside, and I threw a tarp over it at night and locked it up.
Okay. Did you play all the instruments yourself, or were, you know, I don't think you had a full band in the back of a Rambler.
No, I played everything myself, with the exception of the sitar on one song, and that was pretty funny because the sitar was as big as the back seat, and I had to get a guy in there sitting cross-legged, which is the proper way to play the instrument.
Did you have any problem with the bugs or anything getting in there and screwing with you?
I had a bee at one point. I had all the windows rolled up, and I was cutting a vocal, and I realized there was a bee in there. And I kicked the door open and jumped out, and I had a bass plugged in, and I had headphones on, and I dragged half the equipment out into the driveway with me.
Well, why did you choose to record your new album, Rambler 65, in the back of a Rambler? What's wrong with a Continental or a Cadillac or something?
Or
with
a Volkswagen. Why didn't you record it in a Volkswagen or something?
Well, because I owned a Rambler.
Do you collect these things? You got more than one of these Ramblers, don't you?
I'm a Rambler guy.
Are you a Rambler aficionado?
Well, I don't know if I'm an aficionado.
What is a Rambler for people who aren't familiar?
Are you
with
one of these guys who sits out in your front yard or your backyard all day long just tinkering with it, fixing the transmission and putting oil in it and starting it up and...
I've been known to do that sort of thing. I got my first Rambler when I was right out of high school. I bought a Rambler for $200 and it lasted me about 5 years. And then
Did you total it?
No, I didn't total it. It just died, you know, but it had enough working parts in it that I kept that as a parts car and got another Rambler for $300, which lasted me about another 5 or 6 years. And I just kind of continued on with the Ramblers and built up quite a collection of parts.
Well, like Rob says, why a Rambler? Why didn't you move on to bigger and better and faster and more chick-magneting automobiles like, you know, a GTO or something?
Well, I don't know. There's something about Ramblers that are durable and they're real kind of modest, you know. I felt an affinity with them. I don't know why.
You know, I'm guessing, Ben Vaughn, that you're maybe 5 or 10 years older than I am, being a young, sprightly 30 years old. But if you'd been growing up in the late 70s and early 80s, I think it might have been a 75 Nova you would have recorded that record in.
That is a possibility.
Oh, those were bad cars.
Or it could have been a Pacer.
Pacer. Plenty of room in the back of a Pacer.
Yeah.
Would you ever record another album in the backseat of your car ever again?
Never. Never. I've done it.
Well, what next? A boat, a tractor, maybe one of those little things you tool around and cut the grass in?
That's a possibility. I haven't thought of that. I have no idea what my next record's going to be. It's kind of hard to top this one.
Well, real quick, let's listen to one of the cuts on this new record, recorded in the backseat of a Rambler 65 by Ben Vaughn, 7 Days Without Love.
7 days without love makes 1 week. A man can't stand on his own 2 feet. He can't do his job, can't get no sleep. 7 days without love makes 1 week. State. It's quiet at home. You're enjoying all your time alone. The second date, doing all right. You're going out with your friends tonight. But the third day, well, that's a something else. You're getting tired of being by yourself. 7 days without love makes 1 week. A man can't stand on his own 2 feet. He can't do his job. Love makes 1 week. The fourth date, same old thing. Sitting there waiting for that phone to ring. The fifth date is a crying shame. Walking in circles, calling out the name of the sixth date. Well, there's no use trying. If you don't come back, you're gonna lose your mind. 7 days without love makes 1 week. A man can't stand on his own. Makes 1 week. You're a nervous wreck ever since you left. Another week goes by. Love, 7 days without love, 7 days without love makes 1 week. A man can't stand on his own 2 feet. He can't do his job, can't get no sleep. 7 days without love makes 1 week. 7 days. 7 days. 7 days.
Recorded in the backseat of one of those 65 Rambler cars that your grandpa might have driven back in the late 60s. Ben Vaughn from his new album Rambler 65. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we are talking to Ben Vaughn on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Ben.
Yeah.
Say hi.
Hello.
That
Hello.
Record, that song was called 7 Days Without Love.
Makes 1 week.
Makes 1 week.
Now, who's this Bill Lloyd cat you wrote some songs with? We were trying to figure out why we know that name.
Yeah, he helped you write that song, 7 Days Without Love, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
What's his story?
Bill Lloyd is, he used to be part of Foster and Lloyd.
That's what I said at Chris's apartment. But
and they had a number one hit record with that song, Crazy Over You.
The whole town's gone crazy over you.
That's it. He's a really great songwriter. He lives in Nashville. I actually drove my Rambler down to his house from New Jersey to write that song.
Wow.
And how long did it take you?
About 1 minute.
Now, how much of your record that you recorded in your car did you record sitting in the parking lot, and how much did you record driving around town looking for chicks and hamburgers?
Oh, well, I did that in my spare time. I recorded the entire thing sitting still in the driveway.
Oh, you didn't record any of it mobile?
Well, no, the car wasn't even running. As a matter of fact, I got the car running because I wanted to put an engine solo on.
On song number 4, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, let's listen to that real quick, if I can cue it up here with any degree of grace. That's it, isn't it?
That's it.
Wow, pretty
is
cool.
That, is that a 4-cylinder?
6-cylinder.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now, did you also record drums in the backseat of your car?
Yeah, I had a little 10-inch snare drum and a 10-inch cymbal, and I played with brushes. I also had a drum machine and maracas, so Everything has its real.
So you had a drum machine. That explains a lot. I was thinking, you know, maybe like Neil Peart or something. You got the double bass thing and about six or eight toms in the back seat, but didn't quite work out like that, did it?
No, it did not.
Now the song we heard earlier, "Rock Is Dead." Tell us a little bit about that song. Why did
is
you write?
Is rock really dead? I mean, there's a lot going on with rock. You got grunge, and you got these new bands coming around. It got that look like Alice Cooper, like Marilyn Manson, and all that. It's all crazy.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like, you know, you feel like Rip Van Winkle or something. You know, you watch MTV and it's like Grand Funk Railroad or something. Rock Is Dead, the song, actually is sort of a science fiction scenario where this kid is watching MTV and he falls asleep. And he wakes up the next day and the channel is blank. So he leaves the house and goes out into the town and there's no record stores and there's no Rolling Stone magazine. And he realizes that rock is dead. And he is looking around for somebody who remembers rock. It's sort of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
It also sounds a little reminiscent somewhere in between Joe's Garage and 2112. Pretty 70s of you there, Ben.
Well, you know. What can I say?
But then, you know, the ironic part of the song is a lot of the stuff you mention is what a lot of people think killed rock. Mall record stores, Rolling Stone, MTV, that kind of stuff.
And Soundgarden.
And Soundgarden. Shirtless bands.
Well, you know, I mean, everybody has their own opinion. I think rock is still alive. It's kind of like if you walk down the street, you might hear a band in a club or something, and they're into what they're doing without all the marketing and everything, you know.
Now, have you ever seen a band, one of these hip new bands that's all popular with the kids these days, and you think, man, these guys look like a band I saw in the 70s?
Oh, yeah.
I remember the first time this friend of mine gave me a copy of an old Blue Cheer record, right? So I have some guys over to the house. We're hanging out, you know, hitting the old hookah and everything.
What, a Blue Cheer listening party?
I throw on the Blue Cheer record, and everybody's like, oh, cool, what is that? That's a new Sub Pop record? Is that some new band from Seattle? I'm like, no, it's Blue Cheer.
Louder Than God.
Yeah. Tell me about it. And
I love Blue Cheer, man. They were great. You know, their manager's name was Gut.
Just Gut?
Just Gut.
Just
and
Gut.
He was like a Hell's Angel or something, and his name was Gut.
Hey, tell us a little bit about working with Ween and their latest album you produced.
Well, Ween, now, see, Ween is they give me hope for the future and for the present. But
why? Because you might make a buck off of them?
No, because they're great. I might make a buck. I might. Hmm. But no, they're great. They're really they're incredible. They have a new album just about ready to come out, like any week now.
Did you work on that one?
No, I didn't work on that one. Only the country records. See, as far as a producer, I prefer to work on things that are very high concept. You know, like Low Straitjackets. Have you heard them?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, they wear wrestling masks, so it's pretty high concept. You know, and working on Third Rock from the Sun is pretty high concept.
And recording the backseat of your car is pretty high concept.
Yeah, I like doing things where there isn't just a regular way of doing it. There's, you know, you got to invent a way to do it. And taking a Ween, who are like pretty deranged, you know, young kids, down to Nashville and cutting a traditional sounding country record is really that was a real challenge.
Well, how did like Hargis Pig Robbins and all those old session guys react when Gene or Dean started singing those screwed up words to like piss up a rope and stuff?
Hey, now
they were laughing. They were falling on the floor laughing. They loved it. They I asked everybody up front if they were going to be offended, because, you know, some of these guys are real churchgoers, you know, and I respect that if they're not comfortable with like blue lyrics, quote unquote, which is how I described it to them. I said, you know, some of these songs, I told them, I got a brother act coming down, the Ween Brothers. But some of the songs have some blue lyrics. Now, if you're not into that, and a couple of the players that I originally approached did turn the work down.
Like, you know, who? Hoyt Axton?
No, I don't think Hoyt would turn it down. A couple of players that are some of my favorites.
Hoyt just got busted, you know.
Did he really?
They took away his honorary sheriff badge.
Yeah, and they also took away his garden that he had in his basement, too.
Oh, that's a shame.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
What a bummer.
Hey, tell us about the video.
Wait,
you
he never
out.
Told us the name of the new Ween record. We move too fast for these guys sometimes.
The new Ween record is called The Mollusk, which is a slug that lives in the ocean.
I know what a mollusk is. You know what a zebra mollusk is?
No, so you got me on
zebra
that.
Muscle.
The it's a zebra muscle?
Zebra muscle. It's a little bitty muscle that's totally taken over Lake Erie.
And one of these days, that's going to be the beast from the Book of the Apocalypse. But that's another topic, all right?
It sure is.
Hey, let's catch some of your older material just to show that you did come from somewhere. Trash Picking. This song is from Ben Vaughn Blows Your Mind. That was right after the Combo broke up, wasn't it?
That's right. That's my first record after the Combo broke up.
Now, what was the Combo? You called yourself the Ben Vaughn Combo, so everybody thought you were going to come out and like sing Green Dolphin Street or something.
Well, I got the name because Chuck Berry's first group was called the Chuck Berry Combo. And Chuck Berry's probably my favorite songwriter, and I thought, well, here we go.
Here's a song called Trash Picking. We'll be right back with Ben Vaughn after we pick through the garbage. That car again.
Take a good look on both sides of the road. Stay close to the curb and drive real slow. Oh, baby, well, you just never know. Trash picking. Trash picking. Woo! Finger licking. Trash picking. You might find a rug. A pile of magazines and some other stuff. Stop me if you've heard enough. Trash picking. Trash picking. Weak stomach sicking. When I'm trash picking, all you can eat, baby. Look out. Sit and stare. They think that I'm a bum, but I don't care, cause I just found me a really cool chair. Trash picking. Trash picking. Woo! Finger licking. When I'm trash picking. Trash picking. Trash picking. Yeah, trash picking. Trash picking.
Without the Combo from Blows Your Mind.
And without the 65 Rambler. Nice piano job on there, by the way.
Thanks.
I didn't know you were a piano player, too.
Oh, I didn't either. Is that what...
You play everything, don't you? You play like all the instruments on these records, don't you?
On that record there, I didn't play all the instruments, but I do, I can, and I can prove it.
Do you miss working? I mean, do you have a regular working group right now?
I have actually two bands. I have one on the East Coast. And I did two shows back there when the record came out, when the Rambler came out, and I have a band out here, and I'm in L.A. now, by the way. And oh, yeah, I know. I had to mention it.
The drugs are expensive but pure.
That's true, from what I hear. and I have a band out here also. I played a show in Hollywood, I guess, about a month and a half
ago. Viper Room?
No, I played a place called the Martini Lounge. And it was part of a film festival, the Independent Film Festival, and it was great.
Are you going to go on the road to promote your new record, Rambler 65?
We're talking about it right now. What I really want to do is play like Pep Boys or something, parking lots, you know, or Jiffy Lube or something.
That would be cool. I'd show up.
Yeah, instead of clubs or record stores or something, I'd like to play a junkyard or something. I don't know.
Rob was reminding me while we were digging your song there that the only time Rob and I have ever seen you play a concert and we both happened to be there the same night was at the Student Union at Bowling Green State University damn near a decade ago, opening for the Violent Femmes.
I remember that.
What do you remember about it? I mean, Bowling Green is a pretty desolate place.
Well, I remember the audience being fairly violent, actually, and pushing the stage. The stage was actually moving because the audience was lurching towards the stage.
We were just slam dancing, man.
Well, you slam dance the stage right out the window almost.
It was just you and a guitar.
Yeah, it was wild, yeah.
And people are going crazy and pushing and shoving.
Yeah, I was on a whole tour with them, opening for them, and I played a variety of crazy situations.
Like what?
Oh, where was it on that tour where things got completely out of control? I think it might have been the next night, probably in Columbus, Ohio.
You know, the heartland.
They had to stop the show, and it never even was finished. The show was never even finished.
Well, why? Why did they stop the show?
Because people were getting hurt.
Oh,
that's a good reason.
Yeah, that's the best reason I could think of.
So what's the deal with this video you got to accompany your new album?
We're giving one away. We're giving one away. We're giving one away tonight.
And we'll also be giving away copies of the new record, Rambler 65. Tell us a little bit about the video, though, that you got to go with it.
Well, when I recorded the album in my car...
You thought, man, I could make a buck off of video documentary, couldn't I?
That was my manager thinking that way.
Okay.
Video chicks. I could get video chicks to come in and pour milk all over themselves.
Yeah. That was it.
So
we'll stop interrupting you. Why did you make the video?
Are they sprawled out on the hood of your car like in the Whitesnake video?
I like your interpretation better.
Well, I haven't actually seen the video tonight, but I hope to see it soon.
Well, it's a reenactment. It's a reenactment of me recording in the car. Because
it's not the real thing?
Well, when I recorded the album in the car, I didn't even think it was going to be my next record. It was just an experiment for myself. I was going through a period in my career and in my life where I felt like I had to commit myself to something, even if it was really dumb, and complete that. And when I did complete it, I started playing it for people, and everybody started realizing, you know, telling me, this is your next record, this is great. And it sounded surprisingly good to me. And my manager said, well, you have to do a video. We have to do a home video because nobody's going to believe you did it until they see how you did it. So we reenacted it, which was painful.
Well, we're going to give one away to the next caller at 961-8900. Call 961-8900. Tell the lovely Jim Bob, who answers the phone, your first and last name. So he'll ask you some other questions, and we'll give you a copy of the new Ben Vaughn video to accompany the new CD, Rambler 65. Man, they're coming quick.
Did you have the record label? Did you have a record label at that time, or did you have to shop the record, as they say?
I actually, you know, I did not have a record label, and the way it ended up on Rhino, I was having a meeting with Rhino about some reissue stuff that they wanted to involve me in, and James Austin asked me, so what are you up to these days? I said, well, you know, I recorded an album in my car. You know. And he said, what? I said, yeah, you know, can I hear that? And I said, yeah, I'll send a tape over to you. And he went berserk when he heard it.
Maybe you could record an album in the John or something.
I could do that.
No, seriously, have you thought about some more places you could record an album? I mean, you're on a roll here.
I think I'm going to record in a really fancy 48-track digital studio that costs $3,000 an hour. How's that for a...
Well, there you go.
How's that for a rebel, huh?
Ben Vaughn, the author of Rambler 65, as well as another dozen or half a dozen records out of his career. How many records you recorded so far?
Who knows?
Too many. Oh, one more thing I'll ask you about.
Hold on, I got another question, too.
This guy, I forgot about this. This guy not only met, but recorded with one of my biggest heroes of all time, one Alex Chilton.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what is Alex all about? I've heard he's a freaky guy.
Alex is a great guy.
He won't do our show, though.
He's shy.
Well, I'm shy, too, but I'm here.
Yeah, well, you're not Alex.
I mean, how shy could you be to be recording some of those records he did, like that third Big Star record? That's not a record made by a shy
guy.
That's
a pretty, introverted. If you listen to that, it's a very introspective record.
I think
record,
he's got a lot of balls to say the things he does on that record.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have courage. Nothing shy about it.
Yeah, he was...
Melancholy, maybe, but not shy.
He was under the influence.
Of what?
I ain't saying, but Alex is a great guy. We just went to Europe together in December and did a festival with Alan Vega. Three of us went over together and did a show.
Yeah?
Kind of like a super group kind of thing.
Yeah, you guys, the three of you recorded an album called Cubist Blues that I've not had the pleasure to hear because it's one of those underground things.
Henry Rollins won't send us one.
That's right. We can't get a copy around here.
You got to call Henry Rollins. Tell
I will.
Him. Get one over there.
Henry Rollins is a tough dude. Have you ever met him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a mean guy.
Oh, we arm wrestle all the time.
Do you?
No, I'm kidding.
I met Henry Rollins in a record store, walked up to him, introduced myself, tried to shake his hand, but he wouldn't look at me. And then I said, I'd do this talk show. Would you care to call into the program tonight? He didn't even look up. He just said, uh-uh. And that was the end of that.
Wow.
What was it like, Ben Vaughn, when you were back on Restless Records, and Restless would have a big cookout volleyball party, and it'd be you and Lizzie Borden and Diamond Head and Cryptic Destruction and Fate's Warning and...
Don't forget Celtic Frost.
And Celtic Frost and Mace
and
showing
bitch.
Up.
Bitch
and
was
Bitch
there.
Would be
Don't
there.
About Bitch.
What was it like being on a record label with Bitch and Fate's Warning in Big Cider?
Oh, boy. Well, after the Human Sacrifice, it was great.
But you had Striper on there, too.
Striper and also Poison.
What was up with Restless? I mean, was that why they flunked? Did they fail? Are they gone now?
They're still in business, actually. They kind of regrouped, as they say. And Enigma and Restless, they went out of business and came... They retained a decent amount of the catalog, and they're actually getting ready to reissue my older records.
On CD?
Yeah.
So we're going to be able to have Blows Your Mind, Ben Vaughn Combo with this featuring Jerry Lewis in France.
Yeah, well, that's going to be available on CD soon, apparently.
Oh, what about the Hellhammer album, Apocalyptic Raids?
when's that coming out on disc?
When's that going to be on disc?
Wasn't metal a great thing back in the 80s?
It sure was.
What was your favorite metal band, Ben Vaughn?
Well, I still like metal. I like death metal myself. I like Napalm Death and Sepultura.
You like old Napalm Death?
Yeah,
you like the new stuff too.
I like the new stuff too. You know, Barney. You know, the lead singer. that distinctive voice. You know,
uh-huh. The Cookie Monster.
Yeah, it's kind of like professional wrestling or something. I enjoy it. You know, they should actually have flamboyant managers like wrestlers doing it. You know, and have contests. Who's gonna, you know, have the bands fight each other or something?
Maybe we can get Gut out of retirement.
I think Gut needs to come out of retirement. Bring back Gut.
Ben Vaughn on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Thanks for calling in, Ben, and ask Alex to call in next week. Can you do that for me?
I'll do that.
And from his album, Rambler 65, we're going to check out that song, Boomerang, right back to you or something like that, isn't it?
That's how it goes, and thanks for having me on.
And thanks for being on and taking the time.
Sure.
Ben Vaughn on the Chris and Rob Show and Boomerang. thanks again to Ben Vaughn for taking time to be on tonight's program. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob. You want to tell them about what we can give them away?
Yeah, let's do that giveaway. Ben Vaughn CDs for giveaway right here. We already gave away a video to... Who did we give that away to first?
Congratulations name? To Ron. Good old Ron.
Ron got the Ben Vaughn video. It'll be in the mail to you there, Ron, baby.
I tell you what, if you make a pledge of any type to Chris and Rob...
We have one more video, don't we?
The next pledge will get a video and a CD.
Oh, man.
So for $15, $30, $50, we'll join the 88.3 Club. You'll get the CD, Rambler 65, and the Ben Vaughn video.
The accompanying video, the documentary of the making of Rambler 65.
As well as all the other great premiums you know and love so well. 749-1444, 961-8900. A pledge of $15 or more, and you get all the great premiums you always get. And tonight only, to the next caller, the new Ben Vaughn CD, Rambler 65, and the new Ben Vaughn video, which is all about making of that. Ben was a great guy. And this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Rob, you're a big fan of Xena Warrior Princess, aren't you?
Yes, I love Lucy Lawless. She does a tremendous job as Xena Warrior Princess.
She's also a big fan of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
Oh, really?
You know about that?
Yes.
She was singing the national anthem at the Mighty Ducks game a couple nights ago. Maybe it was a week ago. She was dressed like, not like Uncle Sam, but like Auntie Sam, Aunt Sam, like in a skimpy red and white and blue costume. Really cute looking and everything. She raised her arm while she was singing, like, to go, and the Rockets red glare, pop, out comes her boob. I think it was her left one. And she says she was mortified. That's right, Lucy Lawless, otherwise known as Xena Warrior Princess, was mortified when her boob fell out on the ice. And what do you think the players said?
This is kind of the way that the
tits on the ice.
The press twist stuff. I heard she didn't really mind. She was just like, gorblimey.
So now 5,000 people just saw her left breast.
Gorblimey. She's Australian, you know.
Oh, she is?
Oh, gorblimey. Or New Zealandish or something. I heard she didn't really mind. That she kind of dug it. You know, she's a former Miss Australia or Miss New Zealand contestant or something. So she doesn't really care.
What's that?
Oh, boy, what's going on here?
I don't care. We got to follow the rules. Well, we'll put them on the air. Who we got here? What's your first name, buddy? He's gone. All right. You know how to operate the phones, Jim. Jim is answering the phones tonight, and we send a big thank you and shout-out to Jim Bob, who's answering the phones tonight. When you call the Chris and Rob Late and I talk to her, the first thing you're going to hear is this.
What?
Hopefully it won't be quite that spine tingling, but thanks to Jim for answering the phones. 749-1444.
Or 961-8900 for your secret celebrity pledge hotline. It's still pledge week, but when's this thing over? A couple weeks, I guess. Well, but anyway, if you got a pledge, 961-8900. If you got a pledge or you want to go on the air, 749-1444. We still got the Ben Vaughn CD and the Ben Vaughn video up for grabs. That is some very, very cool stuff that we are giving away tonight on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Man, what about this? In Caracas, Venezuela. Always enjoy how news guys always like talk normal. Then when they get to a Spanish word, they'll say, and what about this in Caracas, Venezuela? Well, this story will hold until we talk to Ron. What's going on here? Hey, Ron, what's shaking?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Nothing, man.
Well, I'm telling you, I like Ben, man. He's killer.
Ben is great.
Ben is great. You know, he mentioned a couple cars and everything. See, I'm a musician. Everybody thinks I'm weird, including Chris.
Why do people think you're weird?
Chris, you think I'm weird.
Only when you call our show, man. You call our show, you say weird, idiotic things that don't make any sense.
But I'm a musician, brother.
That's no excuse.
Let me pick up my little Charvel and play it through my Marshall and let you know what... I had a Nova once.
Oh, yeah?
I had a Nova with a beer can CB antenna, and we used to cruise the White House over in Norwood. And all the people used to put their cars up there, and we'd see whose antennas was the highest.
That's a life, I guess.
And who had the biggest linear in the back seat?
That's something to do, I guess.
And I had a Pacer, too.
Gotta have a hobby.
So what's up, Ron?
Cruise around Norwood in your Pacer with nothing but a CB to keep you company. That's living, isn't it?
Yeah, and also, Chris, you know what else we used to do as crazy musicians? I lived in Green Hills for a while, you know.
The world's oldest, the world's largest retirement community.
Right, and we used to go. Well, there's these big green water pipes that used to go across Winton Lake that you could walk across.
Yeah.
We used to get out there in the middle of that thing and just play our guitars and play our guitars. And that's why I think Ben's a good musician, man. I really think he's legit. I think he understands the musicians, even the small guys, you know what I mean?
Are you a little guy, Ron?
Well, sort of, you know. I mean,
how tall are you?
I'm 6'3".
Oh, you're a big guy.
Well, I'm tall, but that...
Are you saying you're little on the inside?
A lot of guitar players are tall.
I think, Ron, I think what you need, I think you need more aspirations. You need goals. You need a purpose in life. I mean, driving around Norwood looking for White Castles and people to talk to on the CB is no way to live a life.
I was 17 years old.
How old are you now?
What the? Hold on, Chris.
I'm 34 now, Chris.
And see what it got you? See what it got you?
A house and a big, nice lake and everything. Yeah, it's got
you
me
got
a lot.
Got your own lake?
Well, what lake, about lake pond.
Okay, you got ducks?
I don't know. What do you consider a lake?
You got ducks.
The ducks I hate. You know why? Because in the morning they fly over and they make a lot of racket, man.
I was going to say, if you had ducks, then maybe you have achieved that level of success that everyone in America dreams for, that American dream. And if you do have ducks, I'm going to give you this one. Do you have ducks?
Yeah, we have ducks.
Okay, you got ducks.
They walk across the damn road.
This guy has succeeded. This guy came from nothing but driving around Norwood looking for White Castles and talking on his damn CB radio.
So he came from where you are now.
But all the way to living the American dream, to have a house with ducks in the backyard.
Yeah, but see, Chris, you live in Green Hills, too. Because me and you kind of know each other a little bit. And you were brought up in Green Hills and around that area. And you worked, now you live in Norwood. And I've got aunts and uncles in Norwood. I mean, it's...
You're scaring me, buddy. You're scaring me.
Well, hey, remember Mama's Pizza?
Because you know something? I don't really know you that well, and you know all this stuff about me, and I'm wondering if maybe you're not stalking me or something.
Oh, I'm not stalking you, Chris. You know what you know what this chick told me today?
No, what did this chick tell you today?
No, check this out, okay? We're down here practicing, okay? We have a garage. It's not a garage. It's kind of like a little warehouse. And we practice. We got our equipment set up there. And there's a chick that follows a drummer around, man. And she's sitting there talking, you know, drinking her little Bud Light. And she's saying, I just don't understand guys. And I said, well, what do you mean?
Guys don't understand girls
well,
either.
Well, this chick's like about 22 years old, okay?
Cool.
And she goes, I just don't understand guys. And I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, I just don't know why they think shoving their penis up my vagina makes me feel better. I don't like that.
Well, she's hanging out with the wrong guys. See, if she was hanging out with guys who knew what girls really want, she would be hanging out with guys that would rub her shoulders, cook her food, take her out to nice restaurants, spend a lot of money on her, take her to expensive shows.
And she said size did not matter.
We all know that.
She said, I don't know why that's all you guys in the band want to do is shove your penis up my vagina, and it doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
Hey, apparently this chick, I think she's like that one. What's her Ellen?
Ellen DeGeneres?
Yeah, because I think she's like, there's this other chick that hangs around. She's kind of like got the butch haircut. And I'm telling you what, man.
Ron, that is one swinging band you're in.
Well, I'm telling you, there's all different kinds, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
You've got chicks. When you're in a band, man, you find out what life is. You find out the potpourri of life. I mean, you talk about so many different types of people, and it's scary. You know, I'm 34, but geez, old Pete, man.
You're seeing your eyes opened every day.
I'll tell you.
Hey, Ron, you want to pledge like $15 and get a Ben Vaughn CD and a video?
You mean pledge what with my credit card or what?
You pledge the wave.
What we need tonight, Ron, are pledges. Pledges,
pledge
financial
before,
support.
Do I have to pledge every time?
No, we're not going
to
ask you to pledge again, but we want you to tell the listening public why they should pledge.
Well, the reason you have to pledge is because the Chris and Rob show is not like these other stations that all us other idiots call all the time. They don't have commercials that go from here to the planet Venus, and they need money to keep the hamsters down there fed so they can keep turning that wheel so we can get some more wattage.
Right on, and I couldn't say it better myself, to be honest with you.
I mean, you know, you have to admit, I mean, I remember that, what was the owner or the director called a couple weeks ago?
That was Ray Imlay.
Yeah, he didn't like us callers.
Why not?
He called us idiots.
Some of you are idiots. And we're going to let you go, Ron, but thanks.
Later.
Next call at 749-1444 with even a small pledge gets the Ben Vaughn CD and video. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And here we are, 749-1444. Do the cucaracha.
Yeah.
What was that for? Sitting over there making poopy sounds. Well, hey, check it out. It's the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And the phone number is 749-1444. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Coming to you live every Tuesday night in Technicolor. Right here on WAIF 88.3 FM. The bottom of your dial. You can't get any lower than this. It's about as low as it goes.
Congratulations to Billy of Hyde Park. He picked up the Ben Vaughn CD and video.
That wasn't Billy Carter, was it?
No, Billy from Hyde Park.
Billy from Hyde Park, okay.
He joined WAIF at 749-1444,
and thus he picks that stuff up. And what do you know, he just found another video and another CD, and we'll give that away to the next caller as well. 961-8900 if you just want to make a pledge.
If you want to call in and talk to us, you know, star-studded talk show hosts that we are, known the nation over, 749-1444 is the on-air call-in line. And Rob was going to tell us about the Venezuelan Jaguars a minute ago.
In Caracas, Venezuela. Some Venezuelans think that in order to protect the jaguar, how do you say it?
Jaguar.
Jaguar? Jaguar?
Jaguar.
It's probably like jaguar, isn't it? It's not jaguar. I can guarantee it's not jaguar. How you are? How do you say J in Spanish? Jaguar. The government has approved a plan to allow jaguars to be legally hunted despite a worldwide ban on killing the endangered species. Proceeds from hunting licenses would be used to remove remaining jaguars to protected areas. Environmentalists and animal rights activists are outraged. And you know, this sounds to me really twisted. Because you know, this is no lie what's going to happen here. Are you with me on this?
I'm with you.
Okay, say they let you shoot 50 of these big, giant, beautiful jaguar cats. They could probably crush your skull with their mandibles of death, which would be mandibles de muerte.
They'd be what?
The jaws of death. Oh. Mandibles de muerte. In Caracas, Venezuela, that is. Anyway, so if you got like 50 dead jaguars, and then what do you do with a dead jaguar?
You eat like it. You can eat it.
You eat it, or you make coats out of it, or purses, or whatever they
make. Stuff it, hang it on your wall.
Or rugs, or whatever. You know, they're going to like somehow create a market for these jaguar products, which I think may, you know, pump up the black market when they make them illegal again, because for a very brief time, maybe jaguar products will be legal because the jaguars were killed legally. Then you're going to say, oh, but you can't shoot them anymore, senor. And they're going to be like, no, man, I want to go see it. I'm going to go shoot them, but it's a jaguar. I don't care about the mandibles de muerte. What's claw in Spanish?
I don't know.
The claw de muerte. Either. So I don't know, man. I think we shouldn't kill the jaguar. We should all just like live as one in peace and harmony and enjoy Coca-Cola.
Coca's good. So is Pepsi.
I don't know.
So is this Dr. Check I'm drinking right now.
So, you know, I think somebody should be protecting the jaguar. I don't think all environmentalists are wackos, and I don't think all animal rights people are nuts. On this, you know, I'm with them. I'm with them on this. Urrah. Protect the jaguar. Viva la mandibles de muerte.
Speaking of jaguars, you talk about animals. Let's talk about spuds. One of my favorite animals of all time.
What a segue that was.
You know who's... Fans. I'm not talking about Spuds, the dog that drinks all the beer. I'm talking about Spuds...
Who's dead, by the way. And speaking of dead dogs, we'll get to that later, too.
You want to talk about the dead dog first?
No, go ahead.
We'll talk about Spuds first.
No, talk about Spuds, who's named after a dead dog.
Now, let's talk about the dead dog first. Then we'll talk about Spuds, because it's all going to segue and be brilliant radio. So, Rob, tell us about the dead dog. This wouldn't be a presidential dead dog, would it? Or did I just let the dog out of the bag?
Millie, the Cocker Spaniel... He wrote a book during a Bush presidency.
Oh, wait a minute. How can a dog write a book? Dogs can't write. I heard if you took 10 million dogs and put them in front of typewriters, not even one of them could type Shakespeare's play. I've heard. Mostly because they've got those big paws, and when they would type a, you know, just type a, you know, type a big... Well, couldn't type just a letter. It'd be a mess. That's what I heard.
Well, maybe they would evolve a prehensile tail and type with their tail.
Oh, okay.
They could use your nose. Oh. If you had a chihuahuas, could use their nose.
Okay. How many dogs do you think you could put in a room until
their
one
nose
of
them de la
type a Shakespeare play, Romeo and Juliet or something? Go ahead. So Millie the dog
passed away. I don't think Shakespeare typed Romeo and Juliet either.
You know, that's a big flaw. You talk about having good science and bad science, and you want to have science that... What's it called, Jim, when all the, you gotta have checks and balances in your science? What's that called? You have to have controlled experiments. What's the control call?
That's not
a very controlled experiment. Maybe they should be like, you know, instead of having those monkeys type Shakespeare plays, maybe they should have them type Raymond Chandler novels or something, because I think he typed.
I don't think Shakespeare typed. He used like a pen.
But I think Raymond Chandler and Stephen King typed their novels.
I don't think Shakespeare ever lived either. I think he's a fictitious character.
Maybe it was Joan of Arc or the Count of Notre Dame.
But anyway, Millie the dog died.
Aww.
But when it was alive, it raised $900,000 for the Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy.
Well, that's good.
She was 12 years old, a Springer Spaniel, I'm sorry. She's dead as a doornail. She's dead as a hammer. She is a dead dog. She is a former dog.
Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444.
It's a dog that's not pining for the fjords.
Sending some condolences to the Bush family of Texas. Are they still from Texas?
If they want to be. Or if they want to be from Maine, they're from Maine as well.
And their dead dog, Millie, who was a fine presidential dog.
And you can look for dead dog Millie to be playing at Suds. He's probably here in about 2 weeks.
You think?
Yeah.
What was Nixon's dog name? Checkers?
Checkers.
He just recently died.
Dead dog Checkers.
Didn't Checkers die?
No, they just recently buried, excavated.
Disinterred
Checkers.
Why was Checkers disinterred? I mean,
so they could bury him next to Tricky Dick.
Oh, come on. It's a dog, for God's sake.
It's a dead dog.
Yeah, who cares?
Look for Nixon's dead dog to be playing in Sudsy's here probably in about a week.
Exhumed
dog.
Okay, let's talk about Spuds. And I'm not talking about Spuds the dog. I'm talking about Spuds, the former third baseman with the Cincinnati Reds, who took the Reds on to victory back in 1990 with the World Series with Barry Larkin and who else played? Eric Davis.
He had two homers in Game 3 to pretty much seal the victory.
Spuds Sabo is now, he's not a baseball player anymore, you know, he's a golfer. Uh-huh. Professional golfer, Chris Sabo.
And if there's a way to get hurt playing golf, Sabo will figure it out. He'll like slide into the cup or something.
Well, Chris Sabo, the thing I used to like most about Chris Sabo were his quotes. And he's got some quotes about yesterday's golf tournament.
That's because he's incredibly stupid.
Including, maybe, he didn't do very well. I don't know how to
score
golf.
He got an 86 or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know how it scored. I don't know much about golf. I don't golf.
Well, if you're really good, like...
I'm not that elite.
Like, the pros get, like, in the mid-60s. The scrubs get, like, in... The pros that lose get in the 70s. And, like, you know, your weekend hacker gets, like, a 90 or 100 or something. I get in, like, the 120s when I play.
Well, says Chris Sabo, maybe I'd have done better if we'd have been playing a skins game out there among ourselves. What do you mean by that?
That's when you play each hole per you want to play a hole.
There's no joking around in a tournament like this. It's not like playing with the boys. He also says of his golf tournament.
What tournament was he in?
I don't know what it was called.
The Chris Sabo, was it the city tournament or something?
The U.S. Open local qualifier at Manitowoc Country Club. Named after a dead Indian. Says Chris Sabo, in baseball I was able to feed off the emotion of the game. Yeah. You can break up a double play or go from first to third. In baseball, you can go nuts. In golf, you can't. In golf, everything has to be under control. You can't shoot for the pin on every hole.
That's a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
You know who else is a golf putz? A golf wuss?
Who?
Johnny Bench.
Well, he's going to be like a
golf
soon.
He's a big
gonna
golf
He's going to be playing
wolf.
With the Golden Bear and Tiger
Woods. I tell you what, you got these guys, and they have nothing else to do. It's like, how incredibly...
Quotes about playing golf. This is my favorite one. You know, Chris had hoped to be playing in the big leagues this season, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So this is his quote about that. Mm-hmm. I know I can play better than a lot of other guys playing now, but it's not what I think that counts. It's what the general managers think.
Well, he's such an idiot. He wanted so much money. He probably said, listen to this. WAIF Cincinnati, by the way. Chris Sabo. Oh, my good gosh almighty. Now, like, some will say that Greg Luzinski ate himself out of baseball. He just got too dang fat. Some people say Dave Parker, hometown hero. Same thing. Ate himself out of baseball. Got too fat to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sabo. Very well could be the only player in the history of the game to be too stupid to be a baseball player. Some of the most moronic people in the world, some of the biggest imbeciles, some of the biggest knuckle-dragging goofballs, some of the most prolific, prodigious morons ever were Major League Baseball players and had long, lengthy, healthy, happy careers, but Chris Sabo could very well be the only guy too stupid to play baseball for a living. How many ways, worthless ways, did Sabo find to hurt himself sliding into first base? He broke his ankle like 4 years in a row. Maybe 2 years. Sliding into first base feet first. He couldn't slide. He was just a moron. He was too stupid to play baseball. He's not too old. He's not too washed up. You know what he is?
What?
He's too stupid.
Well, Chris Sabo, if you're tuned in tonight, Spuds, we got a little treat for you. We brought along a record that's got Billy Casper on it. Billy Casper was the Golfer of the Year by the PGA in 1966, and he's got some putting tips for you. So, Sabo, ears up, and all my other aspiring golfing listeners out there, this is Billy Casper telling us how to putt a little better.
Billy Casper's record shows that he has taken many, many championships, including two U.S. Opens. As anyone who has watched him play will testify, Bill is a great player from tee to green.
Yeah, right.
But he also must be rated as one of the finest putters of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Billy, is there any one putt
He's
that stands out in your memory above all others?
I think the putt that I had probably a year or so ago in winning the Desert Classic in Palm Springs, the 3-foot putt that I left myself.
I pictured a hole as being in between Raquel Welch's legs, and everything just went terrific there.
A little later on, as Eisenhower a knee knocker, me. And I can guarantee you it was a knee knocker.
I remember watching that on TV. Say another occasion that I remember. The 1965 Sahara Invitational, when you played 72 holes and used only 112 putts to set a tournament record of 269.
Oh, yeah, I was very drunk that time. Me and Debbie Reynolds were out the night before.
I had been putting very poorly.
And Debbie was a little bit out of her brain that night, and we ended up at the Flamingo, and things got kind of vicious. Debbie slapped Sammy, and after that, it all went downhill, and just a haze of Jim Beam and Coca-Colas.
Which I putted with during the tournament, and as you can tell, I had quite good results that week.
Debbie's